It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
I'm going to make it a big deal.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty in for Key today. Yo, I know how we're starting the show today.
What's happening, Max?
Guys, before...
Did you know that you were going to wear green? Well, that's like an aqua green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I know I was going
to
wear
this? Yeah, I mean, did we color coordinate?
I don't know. Maybe
that's
just
what you want to start with.
Like an olive green aqua.
Jay, yeah. We're talking about something here. You're talking about the fact that your shirts don't even match? What are you doing?
I'm talking about we both like are rocking with green. Just different tones of green.
The hues that we're wearing are in the same family.
Give me my money! Yes! Listen, my favorite color!
Listen, let me just show you what is actually interesting, okay?
Yes.
Chris, what did you just say as we were coming in about Key and Jay? So Key and Jay are playing 2-on-2 against Bart and Han of Bart and Han at noon Eastern here on ESPN Radio, right? Because Bart and Han were talking about how they could beat any other show 2-on-2. I said, leave me out of this. All right. So of course, Key and Jay are like, all right, timeout. Now they got a whole 2-on-2 set up. And what Jay was just talking about, how sore he is, getting shots up and everything over. He didn't want people video recording him early on because he's, you know, just getting back.
It's not the first, like, 10 minutes of my 100%. Workout. Like, at least let me get a sweat.
100%. But Chris, exactly. What did you just say? Do you remember what you said about all this?
Well, before I get into what I just said, first of all, let me say that I am offended the fact that I am not included with my co-host, Chris Carlin, when we're on from 3 to 7 in the afternoons, that we're not included in the 2-on-2 tournament.
Oh.
Because I felt like this was inspired by the movie White Men Can't Jump with the 2-on-2 tournament and them doing the reboot, the 30th anniversary.
So Chris is Woody Harrelson and you're Wesley Snipes, as we were saying?
Yeah, something like it.
Oh, y'all can get this work?
That's the first thing I think about this one. Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes.
I was a professional athlete for over a decade. Yeah. I'm 6'8", and I'm the only one on the national radio lineup that is on the right side of 40. I'm just saying, I'm offended that
you're one dude,
included.
Though.
Well, I am one dude.
Right. I mean, almost two dudes, but these guys are actually two dudes.
Well, my partner counts as 2.5. So,
I mean, you're playing 5-on-2.
My partner, Chris Carlin, is the same height whether he's standing up
or
he's on the
side.
That's fine. We're going to target Chris Carlin like he's Luka Doncic. We'll be fine.
Well, no, we're actually going to be
DeAndre
fine. No, so here's how they got it set up. We're actually going to be doing the play-by-play because you guys are doing this during our show.
They did that to y'all.
So we're doing the play-by-play, and we're going to live stream it on social media.
So what did you say about... What's at stake in this thing?
Okay, so Jay Will is the only one that has something to lose in all of this, right?
He's right.
He's the only one that has something
to
lose.
No one's got anything to lose except Jay.
I don't know about that.
Jay Will, you were the second overall pick, and you're going...
You were two-time player of the year.
Don't James Harden hype me up right now.
We have
to expose me.
Jay's going to walk around.
Max as my Doc Rivers coach on the sideline.
Is that a good thing?
I'm about to say.
Jay's going to start exaggerating a limp when he walks, trying to make himself the underdog.
Max, Jay Will the only one that got something to lose.
You're right.
Keyshawn Johnson is a couple of years from an AARP card. Alan Hahn played at Long Island University Post. Wait, he played at a school that's not even a school anymore. It got absorbed by LIU Brooklyn. It's not even a school.
CC, hold on now.
Where he played basketball.
All I'm saying.
And Bart Scott, does anybody on this set think Bart Scott can actually play basketball?
No, Bart Scott has the most upside out of anybody because like everybody expects really low expectations with him. So nothing but high ceiling. Yeah. But if Key comes out and dribbles like a 2-year-old, I'm going to lose my mind. Because I'm telling you, the first possession, I'm not going hard at Alan Hahn. I need to see Key go at Bart. Because Key out here talking. He's my teammate. And Bart out there talking the most. Key and Bart are the ones that talk the most now. Not me and Alan.
No doubt.
I know what time it is. Alan knows what time it is. I want to see Key go to work.
Key should be able to go to work because he's going to be guarded by Bart.
See what you're saying right now?
There's no way that Alan Hahn is going to let Bart Scott defends you.
You know Bart coming off doing like the neck curls and
you see what you're doing right now though, Jay? Jay, what you're doing right now,
that's with a basketball court.
They have no chance to win unless you start getting cute. Actually, when I come right out, I'm not just going to kill him. What I'm going to do is let me see how the Key matchup. Just go out and just catch wreck. What are you doing?
You have to
the
play.
The ESPN stands for entertainment.
I am
here to entertain
watching
the people.
Watching Jay Will do his thing is entertainment.
Watching you flame everybody on the court.
That's going to happen.
That is extremely entertaining to me.
Okay, that's going
to
happen.
You wore 22 in Chicago after Mike left. You think Michael Jordan come out, first what I'm going to do is he's just going to say, all right, let me just, as Chris said, flame everybody.
First off, never compare me to Michael Jordan. That's a different level. I'm out here. That's fine.
Well, you say it's a different level, but it's kind of like Michael Jordan when he bought the Hornets and he went out on the practice court and decided he was going to give all his players the business.
Oh, I'm still going
to give it's kind of like that.
But you have to understand.
Compared to the skill set of all the other guys you're playing with, you are going to be like Michael Jordan.
But when Key scores on Bart.
No, you mean if Key scores on Bart.
I'm just saying, when Key scores on Bart, we will talk about that way more than we'll talk about the six buckets that I give anybody.
No, not if you really put a highlight reel together, man. Yeah. That's all anyone's going to talk about.
Yeah. All right, just make sure Allen and Bart really try to guard.
What it's going to look like is Jaylen Brown on Grayson Allen the other night in game two. That's what it's going to look like.
No, I get what Jay's saying. That's all Key's going to talk about.
That's what I'm saying.
All Key's going to talk about is the one basket
bucket
he has.
And I'm telling you, we'll lead with it. Evan will be like, yeah, Key, it was a great move. Nobody's going to come out here and be like, oh, Jay, way to put in work. Because everybody's going to expect me to put in work.
Everybody's...
But if Key scores one bucket, we're going to make it into a SportsCenter special.
All I'm saying is, Jay, there are high expectations for you and Keyshawn, and it has more to do with you than it does Keyshawn. I actually had a chance to talk to Aaron Dolan from the Daily Wager crew on show, and Aaron Dolan helped us set the odds at -240
minus
for
240.
Jay and Keyshawn to beat Bart and Han.
-240? That's insulting.
What do you mean it's insulting?
-240, that should be -1,200.
Well, the reason why it's not
-2,400.
The reason why it's not higher is because we also set the over-under for total injuries at 1.5.
See, that's the reason why it's not. There's only four people playing.
We got to include all of this stuff.
All right, listen.
Only four people playing. That's not
this topic has become a distraction. You know what else is a distraction? You like that radio?
There it is.
You know what else is a distraction?
Your transitions.
It's time for Straight
Better.
Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. This flows very naturally into a conversation about Baker Mayfield, but listen to Kevin Stefanski. He's the Browns head coach on ESPN 850 Cleveland, the really big show. Is Baker on the roster a distraction?
When we're here in the building, we're kind of just focusing what we have to focus on, and today that's a walkthrough that I'm already late for, so you guys got to write me a note here.
Okay.
It's the situation that we're in, and we're making sure that we're focusing on what we can focus on. You know, we've talked about it. It is unique. I think everybody understands that, but for us, it's really treating it day by day and really not getting too far out ahead of it.
Are you confident it'll be resolved, Coach?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. And I think, I think everybody would love a resolution, but these things are fluid. I think Andrew's talked about it. We'll continue to do what's best ultimately for the team at all times, but this is a unique situation, and I think everybody understands that.
All right, so sure, he'll be on the team until when? Can they get anything for him? What can they get for him? And most importantly, guys, is it a distraction to even have him on the roster? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chris Canty's going to tell you why Baker Mayfield is a distraction. That's next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ain't nobody gonna care, Max. You know what I mean?
You're still going
I
about
can still
it.
Go.
I thought Chris Canty, you brought up something that's kind of like it's right there the whole time, but it needs to be said. Jay is the one with something on the line here.
No doubt.
No one else really has anything on the line. Jay's got it all on the line.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But I don't.
So you don't?
I don't.
Why is that?
Because it's going to happen.
But, yeah, right.
Like, you know what's really funny?
Money.
Everybody's going to sit up there and talk about all these hypotheticals. I'm just trying to tell you, when it comes time for it, I'm going to be ready. It's going to be fine.
Ooh. Ooh.
Did you see Justin Bieber? I didn't even know it was Justin Bieber. I didn't even know it was Justin Bieber.
You say Justin Bieber, Key gets mad.
Like, I just saw some guys introducing Tom Brady, and then after the fact, they're like, oh, that's Justin. Oh, yeah, I guess that is Justin Bieber.
He did not like it.
Yeah.
So Brady's obviously trying to get his social media game up, right? So he has Justin Bieber. Like, that's what's going on. He's looking for social media followers.
Tom Brady's TikTok, yo, is kind of like on point. It's legit. He be doing some funny stuff, man.
So Justin Bieber and Tom Brady on TikTok. Listen to this.
New trend alert. Tell me something honest.
Tuckrow game against the Raiders.
Might have been a fumble.
So you introduce, so the idea is say something you don't really want to say, right? That's honest.
By the way, just hearing you say TikTok makes me giggle.
It's hilarious, by
like,
the way.
TikTok.
Does this have something to do with
TikTok.
NFTs?
I'm going to get you an NFT, by the way. I'm going to get you and CC.
In the metaverse or in the real world?
No, don't say stop. No, stop
I'm
going.
Not sure.
Focus on Tom Brady.
Do you understand I'm still amazed by fax machines? Do you understand? Hey, you put it in New York, it comes out in California. How's that possible? All right, listen. Doesn't make any sense. All right,
how did it correlate
it's
to an
magic.
Email? Then it goes to email. Think about that.
Oh, my God. Mind-blowing. So what's the one truth in sports, Brady, that you don't want people to know but that you think is true? Brady's like, all right, the Tucker, it was a fumble. Might have been. He said he couched it. What's the one sports truth, Jay, Chris, that you have to admit to but you don't want to?
How about colleges and universities giving kids houses, cars, and seven-figure salaries in order to recruit them. Because now we've got, these administrators in the NCAA wanting to launch this NIL task force to regulate the landscape. How long has this been going on before NIL was even legal?
Yeah.
That's the truth that I don't want to know.
You tell us what you get.
That you don't want to know.
Took a pay cut when I got to the league.
Can I tell you the one I want to know? Like a lot of players in the NBA, they get the spray paint hairline. How come it doesn't just drip when you sweat on the face?
That's a great question.
Yeah,
the Beijing?
Yeah, the Beijing joint. Like it's right across. Yeah. I'm like, it just stays there?
I thought we're talking more like Muhammad Ali probably lost all three fights to Kenny Norton, that kind of thing. You guys have questions.
I'm into more stuff, yeah.
Oh, another one, LeBron James hairline.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Beijing!
LeBron James.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Chris Canty in for Key today. Guys, Kevin Stefanski, Browns head coach on ESPN 850 Cleveland, the really big show. Coach, is Baker, forget about the locker room, is he even being on the roster, is that a distraction?
When we're here in the building, we're kind of just focusing what we have to focus on. And today, that's a walkthrough that I'm already late for, so you guys got to write me a note here. But it's the situation that we're in, and we're making sure that we're focusing on what we can focus on. You know, we've talked about it. It is unique. I think everybody understands that. But for us, it's really treating it day by day and really not getting too far out ahead of it.
Are you confident it'll be resolved, Coach?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. And I think, I think everybody would love a resolution, but these things are fluid. I think Andrew's talked about it. We'll continue to do what's best, ultimately, for the team at all times. But this is a unique situation, and I think everybody understands that.
First off, CeCe, I know you're going to give us a breakdown. I just love all the coachisms, Max. Like, listen to all the coachisms. We're just going to focus on what we do day by day. This is fluid.
Late to a meeting.
We have to do what's best for the team. I'm a little bit late to a meeting. Like, all the jargon that you hear from coaches are like, just tell me what the hell you think, Kevin. Be honest with me.
No, but you know what, Jay? You got to appreciate it, though. It's an art form.
Agreed.
Saying something and not saying anything at all.
I'm with you, brother.
And
I
appreciate Kevin Stefanski. That's why he won Coach of the Year once upon a time.
Don't inflame the situation.
He's mastered it.
How often do we talk about Key like he could start a consulting firm for coaches who don't know how to do that, right?
Exactly.
Like there is an art. When it's done well, you can appreciate it.
No question about it, Max. But let me help you translate what Kevin Stefanski was saying right there. Baker Mayfield is not going to be our quarterback. Everybody knows that Baker Mayfield is not going to be our quarterback because we traded for Deshaun Watson, fully guaranteed his contract, and we signed two other quarterbacks in free agency. Nobody carries four quarterbacks on their active roster. So the reality is that Baker Mayfield is going to be gone, but we haven't received the offer that we're looking for Baker Mayfield because we do think he can play. Hell, the rest of the league knows he can play. Since he came into the NFL, the guy has got a top 20 QBR amongst active quarterbacks.
He's a starter.
He's got more playoff wins than half the starters in the National Football League today. So Baker Mayfield can play. It's not a matter of whether or not he can produce when he's on the field. The biggest question about Baker Mayfield is, whether or not he can be a good teammate with all of the stuff we saw last year, right, Jay? Going back to the OBJ feud and how that split the locker room. Jarvis Landry felt the way, wanted out of Cleveland. Now that Baker Mayfield looks like he's going to be on the outs, Jarvis Landry all of a sudden wants to come back to Cleveland. The accountability issues at the post-game press conferences, blaming everybody and their mama except himself. And then also the Baker Mayfield camp, people questioning the toughness of his teammates going through last season, saying that if they were as tough as he was, maybe the Cleveland Browns would be doing better.
I think the realest thing that Kevin Stefanski said was that this is fluid.
Yeah.
And for Baker Mayfield, if you're the Browns, you look at him saying, okay, you're a card, I'm going to keep in my back pocket. Because, CeCe, you know this. We have so many injuries that happen in sports. There will be quarterbacks that go down.
No doubt.
So, like, my thing is, like, hey, I'm going to get some type of value in return for you. Even though we took you with number one pick, I'm going to get some kind of value. So eventually, somebody's going to go down, and you're going to say, what are you willing to give me for Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. They're going to smoke.
What are they going to get?
They're going to smoke the rest of the teams in the National Football League out.
Agreed.
We're going to wait until
the other team
going to
pay. Chris, is the other team going to pay the salary?
It depends on how desperate they are. I mean, I remember
they're
once.
Desperate.
Here's the thing, Max. I remember once upon a time, Sam Bradford was the number two quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Teddy Bridgewater gets hurt. You remember what the Minnesota Vikings and Mike Zimmer gave up for Sam Bradford?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They gave up a number one draft pick. Now, I'm not saying that
Bradford didn't have the same kind of distraction stuff that you're talking about.
He didn't have the same type of baggage, but if you're a coach and your starting quarterback goes down, knowing that it's a year-to-year league and your job security might depend on your quarterback being able to play.
But this is what I'm asking, guys.
What's
up? So the distraction thing, like, for example, would you want Baker Mayfield on your team?
Hell no.
See? Right there.
I don't want
Baker
Mayfield. Okay, so. But let me break that down, though. Let me tell you why I don't want Baker Mayfield on my team. There are two types of players in the National Football League. There are guys that will do whatever it takes to be able to win football games. All right? Everybody loves those kind of guys. All right? They're going to hold themselves accountable. They're going to help the organization set the standard for what's expected. And then there are the guys that would like to win as long as they're the reason why their team wins. Baker Mayfield is the latter. And why do I know that? We've seen that because of all of his actions. It seems like he's...
And you don't want that guy anywhere near your team.
No, I don't want that guy anywhere near my team. And here's the thing, Max. We might just say this is the perception of Baker Mayfield, but at some point, perception becomes reality. That's how you get a guy like Robbie Anderson, who's with the Carolina Panthers, and him going out on social media and saying, I don't want Baker Mayfield throwing me passes, even though his quarterback options down in Carolina are Sam Darnold and Will Greer or whoever the hell.
All I'm going to say is I spent some time with Baker. I think Baker can be smart enough to realize if this is the perception out about him, it's his job to change that. And sometimes having a change in environment and being humbled can change your own approach to it. And I hear what everybody's saying. Everybody's coming down really hard on Baker. But it's like there was also production on the field, which sometimes I feel like all this other stuff, he's a distraction. Like, we look over what the production was on the field. He did help the Cleveland Browns get to the playoffs and win a playoff game.
I have a question.
But, Jay, that just tells you how bad it is, how toxic he is in the locker room. Think about that. It's not like the other players in the National Football League haven't seen Baker ball. The guy came in and set the rookie passing touchdown record. It's not like people don't know he can get a team to the playoffs. He is a competent quarterback in the National Football League. But why doesn't he have a job? Because of all of the baggage that comes along with him.
Question.
I don't know if it's just all because of the baggage. I think it's all.
What's the reason?
I think a lot of it's because salary. I think a lot of teams don't want to swallow
$19 million for a starting quarterback.
Well, they're looking at the
$19 million
because they think the Browns are going
to the production,
and also they think the Browns are going to have to eventually eat the whole thing. Their teams are waiting to see. They're smoking each other out. The teams will say, "You pay the whole freight, then we'll grab him." At some point, maybe someone gets hurt, or some team thinks that other team wants him. Actually, we're going to have to give up a fifth round pick and eat half the salary.
So, Chris, so you can't tell me he won't be better than like 90% of the backups. That 95% of the backups there.
Is
in
he
NFL.
No, but here's the question, Jay, and I'm glad you brought that up. Is he willing to be a backup to a less accomplished quarterback? Is he going to be able to sit in the quarterback room with Sam Darnold and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be a good teammate, knowing that he's done more in this league than Sam Darnold? What about with Seattle? Drew Lock, Geno Smith, and Jacob Eason.
I think if he got the opportunity, he would go to Seattle and prove himself.
No, but here's what I'm saying, Jay. Can he go there and not be the unencumbered starter?
I do think Baker can go.
Can he be a backup quarterback under that circumstance?
Yes, I do believe that Baker Mayfield can recognize the opportunity in front of his career for with where he's at right now and play it right. I do think he's smart enough to realize that.
Well, Jay, that's the $30 million question because that's what's at stake for Baker on average annual value with this season. Can he go somewhere and be the consummate professional and be a good teammate? If he can prove that, then you're talking about him being able to cash in 2023.
Oh, Professor Candy. All right, here's the question.
What's up?
I hear the word distraction thrown out a lot. Mm. Like when I was a kid, turn on the radio, right? Listen to the New York sports radio, right? And it's like, he's a distraction in the locker room. And one of the guys actually works here now. He's a distraction in the locker room, right? So what did that mean, really? When you say a distraction, I used to think to myself, I see it more now, but I'm curious if you can articulate. What does that mean? Because a lot of people hear that they go, wait, you can't do your job and also answer a question for 5 minutes? How is that? When you say a distraction that's going to somehow destroy your team's chances of winning, right? What does that mean? Explain that to me.
Well, here's what it means. The guy that's supposed to be a leader splits your locker room. And if your team is not working in concert, the 11 guys that are on the field at any given time aren't working
the
together.
Division.
Exactly. You're not going to be able to accomplish your ultimate goal. That's how you have a team like the Cleveland Browns that have championship aspirations have a losing record this year.
So why would you say split
the
locker room?
Cleveland Browns to win the Super Bowl this year.
So when
they finished tied for last in their division.
What does split the locker room mean, though? You mean half the dudes are rocking with them and the other half aren't?
Yes.
But so
you want your court max. The quarterback is a leadership position by nature.
Why are the half the locker room rocking with them, though?
Like, why isn't the whole locker room not rocking with him?
That's the point. That's the better question. Why isn't everybody rallying around? Listen, everybody knows quarterback is the most important position in all of team sports. He's supposed to be the person that unifies everybody. He's supposed to be the person that quiets all the noise that's going on. He's supposed to be the person that's in lockstep with the head coach in terms of setting the agenda for the team. Show me where Baker Mayfield did that last year for the Cleveland Browns.
All I'm saying is when you have an environment that constantly changes as it relates to head coaches and OCs and people start throwing blame, like even Draymond Green on this podcast, to a degree, you want to start defending yourself. And maybe your production isn't at the level that it should be at and other people can get offended by it.
I'm not making more excuses for Baker Mayfield than a dude going to jail.
I hold him accountable. Trust me.
But you're not. But Jay, here's the thing.
But, CeCe, I don't believe that it's as easy as everything being black and white. Like, he's just a horrible distraction, especially when half the locker room rocks with him. There is something positive about half the locker room rocking with you.
Well, we don't know exactly how many players in that locker room are rocking.
Well, I don't know how many players in that locker room are rocking against him.
We do know.
OBJ and Jarvis Landry.
Exactly, and one of them went to L.A. and won a championship.
You know what is damning? That no one's come out to defend it. More like that.
There you go. Jay
called it on Monday. Why did it take only two games for James Harden's reputation to take the hit it's taken? And will it cost him a major extension?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
There's no way you're going to have enough room to add more players unless you find a way to say, hey, James, don't take the Mac.
What I can say is that something is different. And to me, a lot of that is the pace of the game that he's playing at right now also. You know, when you talk about what he did in Houston, they were always tops in the league in pace.
We will be talking more so about how James Harden has become exposed, more so than we're talking about all the great things that James Harden does.
Just saying, Chris.
You said it.
I'm just saying.
You said it.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Chris Canty in for Key today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, here is Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA reporter, of course, on last night's 6 p.m. Sports Center, updating Joel Embiid's health status.
He hasn't cleared the concussion protocol yet, so he can't be listed as anything but out. This is more of a issue related to that issue as opposed to the orbital fracture. So if he is able to follow the steps and clear concussion protocol on Friday and he's okay playing in that mask, I still think there's a decent chance that he's going to get out there for game three.
Yeah, see, I don't see Joel Embiid getting out there for game three. One of the things, if you've ever been knocked out or had a concussion, just your equilibrium being thrown off is a lot when your dexterity and your agility needs to be off the charts to be on an NBA court or a football field to begin with, right? So now and that's for somebody like me, mm-hmm. who's 6'2", 195 pounds. Now let's translate that to Joel Embiid. 7 feet, 275, 80 pounds, has great agilities on the court. Like, for him to not be able to focus and have control of his body is a huge thing. So you can't just say, hey, fight through that. He has to go through concussion protocol so they can make sure that everything is in alignment for him actually to be able to play.
And the other thing, Jay, that you didn't mention is the light sensitivity, right?
Yes.
Because Joel Embiid just now was able to start looking at his phone without starting to get the headaches, and that's a part of the concussion symptoms. Can you imagine him going into an arena tonight? And you're talking about the bright lights, having to play in a playoff game.
The ringing of your head as well. That
all
little
of that stuff.
Sound that kind of, I don't know if you've ever had something like that, Max, like a concussion. Yeah. But like, there's just this ringing. So now if you're enhancing that ringing by yelling in crowds, combined with the light sensitivity, combined with you not having control of your equilibrium, that's tough.
So basically what you're saying is the series is over.
The series has been over, in my opinion.
If they had Embiid from game one, what then?
I think it would have been a tighter series.
That the Heat win?
I still think the Heat would have had a chance to win because of the scheming.
It's still hard to tell because he's so valuable.
You're not buying into what James Harden said the other day, which is the series doesn't start until a road team wins a game.
I just don't believe what James Harden says because I don't think James Harden believes in James Harden right now.
Wow.
I think James Harden is at this place physically where, I mean, yesterday the big stat that everybody was talking about, and I didn't say anything because I was just curious about the new version of James Harden, the fact that he has not attempted 20 shots or more in a playoff series is alarming. So just the awareness of saying, going into a series saying, we need you to be more aggressive, but he hasn't pushed himself to be aggressive, lets me know that James Harden is in purgatory.
Jay,
with his own mind.
Jay, you're a little late on this one because there's a radio show called Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Ooh.
There's a guy, J. Will,
who
before the series started, I believe, right, was talking about on a segment called Running the Point. It's tremendous. You should check it out if you have the time.
I will.
The things we would learn in the second round of these playoffs. And at number five, this guy, Jay Will, had Harden's rep is about to take a hit. So don't now jump on the bandwagon when this guy had this before the series started. It's taking a hit.
It's taking a big hit, man. It's taking a massive hit because people are talking about all the things that James Harden can't do anymore. Mm. But here's the way I look at it, CeCe, and call me crazy. Everybody looked at James Harden as the piece. And in my mind, understanding who James Harden is now, I'm like, oh, no, no. He's not the piece. He's a piece of a championship team if you can get him at the right value. And that's going to be the challenge for Daryl Morey and the 76ers moving forward. I'm going to start talking about this series as if it's already over because, in my opinion, it is over.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to next year, right? If you can get James Harden at the right value, maybe he opts in and you have Joel Embiid and you go out and you get a guy, Bradley Beal, who is in the piece with Joel Embiid as the piece and then James Harden as a facilitator.
That can't be Tyrese Maxey?
I mean, Tyrese Maxey's a guy that comes off the bench.
I don't know. The way he's ascending, I leave Tyrese alone. That's my Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
No.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree with that. One of the biggest issues with the Sixers is they can't shoot.
Yeah, that's
true. In game two,
they could use some more space.
8-for-30 from three-point land.
All right, guys. You talk about Harden's value, Jay. Are you going to need Kelly Blue Book for Harden's value? Listen to Jalen Rose talk about this very subject on Get Up.
I don't believe they will. And I know people are going to think that's surprising based on the fact they did everything they could to wait for their guy. But you don't do like the Lakers did with Russell Westbrook and double down on a bad decision. And here's why. James Harden, if you look at his Carfax, he's breaking down. He ain't that same player. Chris Paul is a classic car. He's a used car. This team can't win because they got him.
So I think Jay Rose is right, but used cars can be incredible if used properly, right? So I'm a car classic guy.
Okay.
I have one dope car. It's a 65 Ford Mustang.
Of course. I got it down in North Carolina,
Max and CC. Yeah. It is my baby. I don't take that thing out and ride it every damn day.
Converti?
No, not a converti. Hard top. I don't take it out and ride it every day.
Ooh.
You know what I do? I keep the maintenance on it. Mm. I keep it in impeccable shape. And then when I do take it out, though, man.
That's what he's saying. Classic car. That's Chris Paul is a classic car.
Yeah, but
Chris Paul is your Mustang.
But Chris Paul is still playing at an elite level every single day. That's what I'm saying. James Harden isn't going to do that every single day. That's what I'm saying. He can't be the guy. He's a guy that you can bring out for the right situation. And I'm like, man, this is one hell of a ride when you get there. But he can't be a guy to help you get there on a day-to-day basis. You have to use him the right way. So, yes, we're looking at him differently. You guys want him to be the player he was a couple years ago in Houston. I'm telling you,
he's not that kind of player
anymore. Here's what I'll say, Jay. I thought when they made this trade, he was going to be the secondary option for the Sixers offensively to Joel Embiid. That's not the case. He's not the number two. That's Tyrese Maxey right now.
I hear you.
And I don't know that James Harden will ever get to a place where he's going to be the number two option on a championship-winning team.
But, CeCe, he is there now. One of the first things I said on our show, this is 2 weeks ago, I'm like, everybody wants James Harden to be the 45-point scorer.
Yeah.
That guy that has the ball that played the top pace with Houston, by the way. When there's more pace, there's more possessions in the game.
Okay.
Sixers don't play that way to a degree. What I'm saying is in order for them to win a championship, you need James Harden to be this James Harden, a facilitator, a guy that pushes the ball, hockey assists, that type of guy. That's what I'm saying. You need one other additional player, which they're talking about getting Bradley Beal so he can be that player all the time.
But here's what I'll say. It's hard to be a facilitator when you can't break down the defense off the bounce and you're the primary ball handler.
But you can if you're involved in the ball screen with Joel Embiid.
You're right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's not the guy as a standalone entity right now. That's not his game anymore. That's no longer who James Harden is.
Yeah, I know, but it happened overnight, Jay. It happened so quickly because when he went to Brooklyn, we didn't know that that's what he was because you had Kyrie, because you had KD.
100%.
He didn't need to do that.
And he played great, but there was one other element there in Brooklyn.
Shooters, scores.
And, yes, and Chris, I identified that, Mike D'Antoni, right? So Harden and D'Antoni can roll out of bed with a bunch of shooters and go, okay, let's run our thing, right? Here's, for me, what is going to be the telltale sign. this offseason, let's say Harden opts in and he takes the whatever it is, 47 million. Does Daryl
for that? You know what? Can we stop? Hold on, Max. Let's stop right there. $47.5 million,
yeah.
And there's a question of whether or not he'll opt in.
Well, when $200 million maybe is there.
Doesn't that feel so wrong? I'm just saying.
Feels wrong, but it feels right for his bank account.
Yes.
Yeah, but you just said it, though, Jay.
I hear you,
it's
man.
About the value that you get James Harden at. And if
but,
you're Daryl
okay, so
Morey,
this
how can
is where
you
I'm going,
that?
Chris. This is where I'm going. Daryl Morey is extremely rational, right? The way he approaches things. Now, he has an emotional attachment to James Harden. They're boys, right? But it's going to be really interesting, both as a test of Maury's kind of way of doing things and also as a sign for the rest of us. Does Daryl Morey bring in Mike D'Antoni? If he does in the offseason, they get bounced, let's say Doc is gone. If he brings in Daryl Morey, doesn't that tell you something about what he thinks, what the analytics and trackers say about James Harden?
That ain't his show. Like, I'm not saying that Daryl Morey won't make the final say, but it's not about being able to get the most out of James Harden. It's about getting the most out of Joel Embiid.
Right, but we'll see what Morey does.
But think about this, though. Like, in D'Antoni's system, when has the big man ever been featured?
Okay, but that's what that will tell us something.
Guys, let me tell you something. As soon as Joel Embiid got hurt, that whole Mike D'Antoni conversation needs to stop. Doc Rivers is going to be the coach next year, unless he decides to go to the Lakers. I'm telling you, because you're going to get a pass. Joel Embiid is hurt.
I don't think they're giving Doc a pass.
No.
I don't think they're giving
Doc a pass. No way.
Mark it down.
No way.
All right. What's today's date? I'm going to come back May 6, 2022. I'm telling you, when the season starts next year, if he's not the head coach of the Lakers, he will be the head coach of the 76ers.
And I'm telling you this right now, the right man for the Philly job could actually already be in town.
Sam Cassell?
No. The coach that just stepped down from Villanova, Jay Wright.
No.
Well, I mean, Philly and Jay Wright do go
together. Listen, the ownership for the Sixers has had this public love affair with Jay Wright. So I'm not saying that it's going to happen.
Can I give
I'm
you
just
guys
saying
a stat?
It's a name that it should be considered.
Absolutely. Can I give you a stat?
What's up?
Sixers through two games. Okay, mm-hmm. This is via Sam Quinn, who on Twitter, right? Someone forwarded it to me. DeAndre Jordan on 30 minutes, okay, is a minus 31. DeAndre Jordan off the court, 68 minutes, Sixers are plus one. The Sixers are plus one without him on the floor. They're minus 31 in 30 minutes with him on the floor. And Doc is the guy who's saying, hey, the guys like him, like his rah-rah, like we're going to keep – I talk to my veterans, this is what we want to do,
mm-hmm.
is the reason they are stubbornly playing DeAndre Jordan. And much like the bench unit that he played last year in the playoffs, Doc went all bench and it was getting slaughtered. And he was like, nope, this is what we're doing.
So you're
that's more than even Ben Simmons why they lost
that
series
me
last
that
year.
Paul Reed and George Niang is the answer.
Yes.
Okay.
That it makes you competitive more than this.
Okay.
More than DeAndre. If you're minus Jay, you're minus one point per minute.
I get the thing about DeAndre Jordan playing. I get all that. Mm. It's like we're finding something to focus on. But, you know, 76ers didn't have a chance, man, against
but,
Miami.
But this is why Doc, I don't think, will be there next year. Not right. Daryl Morey is it's too analytics focused to rock with that.
Yeah, plus Doc had Joel Embiid in when they were up by 20-plus in Game 6 against the Raptors when he got hurt.
The Sixers need James Harden to get in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Is he a classic car, a used car, a broken car? Can you take
classic
him for a spin around the block?
Cars.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
There's a code that players follow where you never put a guy's season/career in jeopardy.
As someone who handed out a lot of flagrant fouls during my career, unfortunately, he did break the code. This was a lapse in judgment, a dirty play.
I've been talking to people in the Warriors since yesterday, and they were hoping that Brooks would be suspended. Now, of course, we know that he's suspended one game.
Just so fresh, so clean.
Man, Yates is killing it this morning.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's every day. That's every day.
He's killing it.
This song on a spring day, you felt like jumping in the shower and throwing on a pair of shorts and
some Air Force Ones.
Running outside. Some Air Force crispy white Air Force Ones.
Crispy, though.
Yeah.
Uptowns.
You got one, maybe two wears.
The white T-shirt on top of that.
Oh, come on.
Long white tee, though. The long white tee.
You already know it, CC.
The long white tee.
Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and
so glad
Fitzsimmons.
Came a long way since then.
Guys, was getting into Dylan Brooks' suspension. He was suspended Saturday's game three without pay.
Called it.
For making what the league said was unnecessary and excessive contact with Gary Payton II in Game 2, the result of which was a broken elbow for the Warriors guard, Gary Payton II. So here's the sound from Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
The moment I heard that Gary Payton II has fractured elbow, done for the extended period of time, as you mentioned,
yeah.
I said, here comes the overreaction, and he's going to get suspended. Because I think intent goes a long way and should carry some weight. Should.
Mm-hmm.
Does it? No.
Okay.
But I think it should. But if I firmly believe if Gary Payton II doesn't get hurt, he's not suspended.
I'm confused by what Ian is talking about with intent, because I thought his intent was pretty clear through his actions. He wasn't making a basketball play. He was going to whack the hell out of GP2. He's not even looking at the ball, Max. He hits him over the head. There's the big windup. And I get it. I understand they want to set a physical tone because the Memphis Grizzlies got punched in the mouth in game one by Golden State. They felt like they let one get away on their home court. I understand the mentality. But there's no place for taking a shot at a guy, especially when he's defenseless and in the air. I thought it would be a multi-game suspension for twofold. Number one, it wasn't a basketball play. The second thing is, after what we saw with Draymond Green on Brandon Clark, the flagrant two, and then what we saw early on in game two with not only Dylan Brooks, but Xavier Tillman elbowing Draymond in the face, his eye bleeding, having to be checked out for concussion symptoms, it means that the league and the refs have to get a handle on this series before things continue to escalate, because we have too many incidents where guys are defenseless and could potentially get hurt. So I thought that the league would be heavy-handed to send a message to both teams in this series, but to also send a message to the rest of the teams in the playoff field.
So after the game, when I was in Memphis, I got a lot of hate from Memphis fans because I declared that I thought he should be suspended for Game 3. And I heard from people around the NBA, in the NBA, that that was going to happen. I think the NBA got it correct on this one. Mm. I do think the NBA got it incorrect on the Draymond Green. I thought he should have been suspended for Game 2, to be frank with you. If you look at the videotape, there's a reverse image out there. Let me tell you guys about hand-eye coordination. If we're playing CC, my hand-eye coordination is different than yours to a degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I focus on the basketball, on quick hands and swiping down. If you look at the video of the first one with Draymond Green and Brandon Clark, when Brandon Clark goes up for it the first time, the ball is extended a little bit with his elbows. Now, quick eye-hand coordination, I can swipe down on the ball. I know exactly where the ball is at. I'm going for the ball. I might hit your wrists. I might hit your forearm, but I'm not hitting anything else.
You're not winding up.
Draymond Green swipes at the face, and then it goes down into the ball. That was deliberate.
Of course.
I don't care what anybody tells me. As a hooper, as a guy that swiped at thousands, I'm not going to say that because I would say phrasing on myself. As a guy that swiped down on thousands, right? Don't call myself phrasing. Out. I got it. I caught it before you called me. I'm a winner. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, I'm just trying to tell you, like, it was easy to swipe down on it, okay? And then the jersey pull on top of that, the thing that people are trying to give him credit for is like the fake, I got you at the end.
Oh, no,
dude was already on the
ground. He knew he went too far, yeah.
I'm saying the NBA got it correct on Brandon Clark, correct on
Dre.
Dylan Brooks.
Agreed.
Right? They got it incorrect on Draymond Green.
Yeah, Jay.
I'm staying with
Jay,
that.
I hear
he should have got suspended for games.
I hear where you're coming from, Jay.
Not just a flagrant,
and I'm not saying that he should. First of all, he should have got suspended just with the way he exited game one, because that was absolutely ridiculous. Going full Antonio Brown. Without, he just didn't take the jersey
Antonio
off.
Brown.
That's exactly what he did. He went full Antonio Brown. He just didn't take
analogy.
His jersey off. But it was absolutely ridiculous.
That's
it
not full Antonio. It's half Antonio.
Yeah, half Antonio Brown.
It was the optics of it that looked so bad after the fact. But what I will say is this: those two fouls ain't the same. With Dylan Brooks, there was more of a windup.
Oh, you know,
it was aggressive. It was more egregious. Dylan Brooks didn't even leave his feet, Jay.
Yeah.
He's sprinting full speed.
I'm in agreement with you.
Winds up. Hits him in the head.
I'm in agreement with you.
If you're saying Draymond Green should get one game, what the heck should Dylan Brooks get?
I'll tell you, as a fan, what a fan is going to say, if I'm a fan of the Warriors, I don't want to see Dylan Brooks out there again until my guy's out there again. That's how I feel.
But let me tell you real quick about Draymond. Draymond's really slick, man. Like, I'm going to give you real hooper talk. Have you ever played with a dude and be like, yo, you okay? I know you ain't worried about me being okay.
Yeah.
I know you ain't really worried about me being okay.
Yeah.
You barking at. So let's not act like we don't know what time it is with how Dre can play scenarios. He's a master manipulator, bro.
Sure.
And also, think about this. Think about how he controlled the narrative, which is brilliant on his part. I give him a I
the emergency him. Podcast.
My emergency podcast. Let me tell y'all what time it is and what really
Guys.
Happened an hour after the incident happened. It's genius on his part.
Jeff Van Gundy was on this show yesterday, and I thought he made a really good point I want to play for you.
I think the play that Dylan Brooks committed was reckless. But I have been remiss, as has a lot of media members, I think, been remiss in addressing this throughout the year. This horizontal club swing to try to block shots has been around for a while now. And when it misses the head and gets the ball for a block shot, we talk about what a great play it is.
Yeah, what about that, right? So like, good. It's something that's – if you happen to hit the ball, oh, good defensive play. That should be legislated against, right? Like, you should get that move out.
Max, in order to hit the ball, you probably got to see the ball.
Right.
This guy wasn't even looking
no,
at
no,
the
wasn't
ball.
Even looking. No,
no.
By the way, that was like the slowest club. The I mean, he had his hand down. It felt like for like – 3 seconds before hit him.
I thought he was about to put some baby powder on it. I mean, that's like before he slapped the hell out of somebody. This horizontal swipe, I guess that's the new way to say slap the hell out of somebody.
Horizontal swipe.
What did the five fingers say to the face?
Horizontal swipe.
Slap.
I mean, listen, man, it's absolutely ridiculous what Dylan Brooks did. And the part that hits home is what Steve Kerr said after game two about Dylan Brooks and how
breaking
hard he worked.
By the way.
Well, not just with breaking the code, but how hard he worked to get to this point,
all right,
to
guys,
find a home.
Yeah. Guys, we're getting right back into Baker Mayfield. That's next on ESPN Radio Series XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.